Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hats off to that unit that was in there. First unit, we came out tie game. I think we let them get about 8. Then it got to 12. But that group battled back, and then we just wanted to finish it out. It was a lot of hard work, so we didn't want to let the team down. Played a good team tonight. We found a way just to get stops, to come out with a win. But we got to do that for 48 minutes every night.
We played much better offensively. I mean, defensively, we did okay most of the night. But offensively, I mean, we were pathetic. I mean, 13 turnovers in the first half. We averaged fewer than 12. Their pressure got to us. So we didn't take care of the ball. That's what kept them in the game. Our defense kept us around. And then we finally had a good offensive quarter. We hung around long enough to give ourselves a chance to have one good quarter.
Everybody just normally used to getting wide open shots, playing free and flow and having so much space, but it's hard to do that when those guys aren't on the floor. Looking for shots and just trying to create plays for others, doing more pick and rolls, trying to find that weak side corner guy. Something I haven't done in 3 years, so I was trying to get back to it. Fortunately, that's over, so I can get back to my normal.
We know it's LeBron. I mean, guys send the guys out every night. When the Cavs do it, when LeBron does it, it's, you know, it's something different. So I understand, too, because, you know, these people are waiting to see LeBron play. You know, they wait for this moment, this opportunity, and, you know, when he doesn't play, the best player in the world doesn't play. You know, it's tough on the fans because, and it's close to Christmas, so a lot of it was Christmas presents and Christmas gifts. But, I mean, it wasn't nothing intentional. Like I said, it was just circumstance. And for me, it was the second night of a back-to-back, 4 and 6 nights. My training staff, you know, said this would be a good night to sit him. And, you know, he's been playing a lot of minutes and to travel on a back-to-back 2-hour flight. And, you know, I just didn't think it was good for his body. They said it wasn't good for his body.
But see, in my day, when we rested in practice. 2002, we talked all that stuff about Allen Iverson and his practice rant. He actually had it right. Rest in practice. He never missed a game. I mean, it's just a new day. Obviously, with Coach Lou resting these guys, he's saying, I'm more worried about the playoffs. I'm more worried about the finals and not a regular season game.
They're going to change the schedule. So they're going to start the season around October 17th, October 18th. Start it a week earlier. Cut down on back-to-backs. Cut down on those 4 games in 5 nights that players hate. Adam Silver's been adamant. Because he's been asked this for weeks, months, even before what we saw tonight in Memphis. And his position is, as a league, we cannot tell coaches how to hand out minutes. We can't tell coaches when to rest guys, when to play guys. Obviously, it would be better if these guys took these rests at home so people in Memphis will only get one shot at seeing LeBron. They don't lose that. But the league is not going to step in and kind of control this.
Welcome to the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Indeed, an extravaganza extraordinaire once again right in front of us on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Hope you're having an outstanding Thursday. Appreciate you being a part of our show. We want you to be a part of it more personally when you dial 866-240-1065. 866-240-1065. Heavy, heavy, heavy on the NBA today. As you just heard in the montage, Pistons got a win over the Mavericks, kind of bouncing back a little bit from the very, very lackluster, and that's a kind way of saying pathetic effort against the 76ers. So they come bounce back from that loss to beat the Mavericks last night. But the big story in the NBA continues to be what you heard in the second part of that montage. The NBA trying to figure out what to do about resting stars, about resting players, finding a way to make sure that the coaches can dole out the minutes as they see fit while also making sure that the fans don't get screwed in the process. And that is not what happened last night, because fans got screwed in the process. Last night in Memphis, Tennessee, you probably heard some other folks talking about this already. We spent a great deal of time talking about it yesterday on this program. A lot of really, really good phone calls, particularly in hour number two of yesterday's show about this. I've got some very definite opinions on this. And I got to tell you, I know they sound hypocritical because I have made a point on this program in the past of defending Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs for resting Tim Duncan and resting Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker at various points of the last couple, 3 seasons. I've defended that, I feel, for the right reasons. because we're talking about older players who simply don't have the legs, you know, and maybe even the wind capacity to play 82 games plus the postseason, which is, you know, which is an extraordinary grind. Make no mistake about it. It's another half season almost if you go all the way through the finals. And depending on whether you win four in a row, you end up playing a bunch of 6 and 7 game series. It's not easy to get through the NBA finals. And when you are in your, you know, mid 30s to upper 30s, you know, that could be a very, very difficult toll for the body to take, the beating, the wear and the tear. And I've said, look, let Duncan sit a little bit. And if the fans are disgruntled by the fact that Duncan is sitting a game or two here and there, and if they're upset that maybe Tony Parker is missing a game or two here or there, you know what? They're going to have to deal. Popovich has got to keep his old players' legs as young as possible in May, not in December and January and February. That's the bottom line. All right? So when I said that, I firmly believed it. And now yesterday, here I go on this program, and it's part of what everybody is talking about in the league across the country right now. Here I go criticizing the Cavaliers and Tyronn Lue for sitting LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love last night. I sound like the world's biggest hypocrite. And while I might be the world's biggest a lot of things, and not all of them are pleasant, I can tell you I don't feel hypocritical about this. And the reason why is kind of what I just laid out. I talked about Tim Duncan's 36, 37, 38, and last year his 39-year-old legs, his last year playing in the NBA. I talked about Manu Ginobili in the same terms. Jim, can you look up the age of those guys just because I want to clarify? I got to believe they're both talking about Ginobili and Parker, both in their mid-30s, and if they've rested for the last couple of years, it's going to be because of the collective ages there and the miles and the games on their you know, on their bodies. These are not young as springtime players anymore. I don't think either Ginobili or Parker were as old as Duncan, obviously, because Duncan at 39 just retired after last season, and these guys are going. So, but I'm curious as to see exactly how old those guys are. If you have that in front of you, let me know that when you do. So,
all right, I got it. Tony Parker is 34, and Manu is 39.
So Manu is almost, he was only 1 year younger than Duncan.
Yep.
Okay. So I will amend that to the degree about Parker. To me, you know, 3 years ago at 31, you know, I don't know that he needed to be resting. And I don't know that really Popovich did it for Parker as much. I know he did it for Duncan, and I know he did it for Ginobili. I'd have to look and see how many DNP CDs or rests or whatever it is that Parker had to really kind of make this a full three-on-three comparison. So we don't have to make that. I will defend Popovich and stand by that defense on the issues of Duncan and Ginobili, like I said, simply because of the age and the legs, et cetera, et cetera. The reason I don't feel hypocritical is because LeBron James is 31, not 34, certainly not 37 or 8, not 39, the way Duncan and Ginobili in the last 3 years, been 37, 38, 39, have needed that kind of rest. They did. LeBron James at the age of 31, we talked about this with Rick Nolan some yesterday. LeBron James told the media about 4 days ago after he scored 44 points and had just another monster game, said that he is feeling as good physically as he has ever felt in the league. Despite this being his 14th NBA year, he feels as good as he has ever felt in the NBA. His body is in peak physical condition. Now, if that's the case, this 31-year-old peak physical condition body doesn't need a day off in Memphis, robbing the kids in Memphis and the fans in Memphis who may have spent their Christmas present money on their kids to take them to go see the four-time MVP and the league's defending champion. He doesn't need that day off. I'll get back to that, though. Kevin Love. Kevin Love's 2 years away from even the 30th birthday of his life. He is 28 and in the prime of his career. That big man doesn't need that day off. And then there's Kai. Kyrie Irving, who got the night before off in Cleveland, gets the second one off in Memphis, and then, of course, an off day today before coming back to play tomorrow. Cat is 24 years old. Came into the league right out of college at 19. He hasn't even played a full 5 seasons in the league because of injuries. He's missed a ton of games as it is. He doesn't have many miles on those tires. Uncle Drew is only a character in a Pepsi commercial. It's not reality. He's not an old, slow man who needs these nights off. He's 24, young and energetic and precocious and just bouncing around off of the walls. Why would the Cavaliers need to give this guy rest on a night, again, that the same night, that's the same night as his two quote-unquote big three teammates last night in Memphis? And, of course, as you know exactly what happened, what everybody knew was going to happen. Cavaliers sent their D-League team, or their JV, if you will, to Memphis to play the Grizzlies and lost. They just kind of accepted, we're going to split this home and home, or home and away, as I like to call it. We're going to win one, and then we're going to lose the next one because we're going to keep the big three guys back. One-on-one. That's all right. We don't care. We don't care to put a competitive product on the floor in a visiting city, or in a host city that we are visiting, is a better way to say that. We don't care about putting a winning product on the floor. We don't care about giving the fans what they came to see, what they paid to see. We're just going to go ahead and mail this one in. Now, I spent a great deal of time talking about this yesterday and the problem that I have this from with this from these fans' point of view. This morning on Mike and Mike, Golic is out, so Booger McFarlane, who is a wonderful analyst, by the way, just a very, very sharp dude. I like listening, particularly on the NFL, but he's good on this too. But he was in for Golic, and Mark Schlereth was there as well. So the morning show that you hear right here every day on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, FYI, featured two guys this morning named Booger and Stink. If that doesn't sound like, you know, an all-guy program, I mean, it sounds like, you know, we're in the middle of Animal House. You know, it's the frat house. Over there, there's Otter. Over there, there's Bluto. Then there's Booger, and then there's Stink. I mean, it sounds like a frat house, which is all kind of awesome, by the way. But the latter two, Booger and Stink, as you know, Anthony McFarlane and Mark Schlereth are former players. Mike Greenberg is what, you know, you and I are. Never been professional athletes, just coming at it from the fans' perspective. Suffice it to say, they played their roles to a T. And I don't mean they were playing them. I don't mean they didn't mean what they were saying. But what I do mean is Mike Greenberg having a big problem with these players resting when they're making tens of millions of dollars a year to play 82 nights a year and robbing fans of an opportunity to see them, particularly when they show up in a city where, you know, it's the last visit, the only visit they're going to make that year. It's wrong, and it's wrong to the fans. Greenberg approached it from a fan's perspective. Predictably, the two former players said, the heck with the fans. I mean, not in so many words, but pretty close, saying our goal is to win a championship, and we got to do what we got to do to win a championship, not to please the fans. So I want to play a little bit about what they said this morning, and I want to comment on it, and I want to get your comments on it. And I want to dig into this a little bit later with Aaron McMahon, who's going to join us at 4:05 from MLive.com. He covers the Detroit Pistons, so he's obviously got the NBA beat. And find out what he thinks about this, too. Because I just don't think, well, I want to save some of my comments for after what you hear. So I want to go ahead and play these for you, so bear with me. This is about a minute and a half here with Mike Greenberg explaining a situation that needs... Oh, this is such a great analogy, and I'm so glad that he did this, too, because he kind of already dissects some of the arguments about giving these guys chances to rest for the playoffs when he talks about DeMarcus Cousins in Sacramento and Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain. This is just a great piece. Give this a listen.
Here's another part of the story. DeMarcus Cousins sat out a game last night. Boogie Cousins,
Boogie.
The Sacramento Kings, who obviously are resting him for the playoff run. They're 9-16. So obviously they've got, you know, enormous championship aspirations. They're going to need him well rested when they get deep into June. And his coach, Dave Yeager, said, there's just different points in the season. It looks like he's carrying quite a load. He scored 30, scored 36 points the other night, got 15 or 16 rebounds. He's got to do this, he's got to do that. Sometimes it's just good to take a break. That's what he said about Boogie Cousins. On this date...
I want to pause that right there because I want to play that particular part of this again. Think about what he just said, okay? He's talking about Boogie Cousins needing a break because he scored 30 points and grabbed 15 rebounds, and boy, that's an awfully big load. Dude needed a break. I want you to listen to that again.
The load. He scored 30. He played 30. He scored 36 points the other night. Got 15 or 16 rebounds. He's got to do this. He's got to do that. Sometimes it's just good to take a break. That's what he said about Boogie Cousins. On this date, by comparison, in 1961, Wilt Chamberlain was in the midst of a stretch in which he played 6 games in 7 days. In those 6 games in 7 days, he played every minute of every game, including 63 minutes in a triple overtime game in the first of those 6 games in 7 days. Over the course of that stretch, he averaged 57.2 points per game. He was carrying something of a load, I suppose, yeah. And no one decided. He just looked like he needed a little bit of a break. Now, I recognize that's 55 years ago,
right.
And a lot has changed. But you know what? A lot has changed in the way of the way these guys eat and the way they travel and all of that kind of stuff. I'm sorry. I'm not okay with this.
I call Greenberg out from time to time. Not that he cares. He's on ESPN, and I'm talking to you in Toledo, Ohio. He doesn't need to get my approval. But this is what we do in sports radio. We agree with some things. We disagree with some things. I call him out frequently on things that I disagree with. I also have his back when he is on, when he is spot on. And my friends, he is spot on here, particularly about the last thing that he said there in that clip. The last thing that he said, which was so very important to me, was that a lot of things have changed from 55 years ago to now. And here's what changed. 55 years ago, professional athletes were men who took pride in what they did for a living. Today, they are wussies. And if you want to replace the W with another letter, be my guest. Just can't do it on the radio. They are wussies. They are cowards. They are weak-willed. They are lame. They are pathetic. They are cowardly. They are, I can't think of enough words to describe it. When I heard him make those comments this morning, it just underscored it. Do you know how old DeMarcus Cousins is? Boogie Cousins is 26 years old, for God's sake. 26 years old. Happy and as healthy as can be. Making tens of millions of dollars a year. And this guy needed a break because he had, or his coach felt he needed a break because he scored 30 points and had 15 rebounds in a game? Well, let's give that guy the night off. He doesn't need to earn the next game's paycheck. I mean, we'll just give it to him for sitting out because he was a man in the last one. Are you kidding me? LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love needed a break just because it was the second night of a back-to-back? Are you kidding me? You heard what Wilt Chamberlain did in a stretch as the NBA complains and the players complain about back-to-back games and 4 games in 5 nights stretches that are given throughout the various seasons. Something that I don't have for you on tape, but that I do want to share, that was also given this morning by the guys on Mike and Mike. Let's compare this to the National Hockey League, because the hockey schedule is very, very similar, as you know, to the basketball schedule. 82 games, 80 games. Okay. In hockey, they play just as many games. Do the players just take rest nights in the NHL? Well, let's take a look at this stat. Last year, the 2015-16 season, 83 NHL players played every single game on their schedule. 18 players did that in the NBA. 10 years ago, just to kind of go back a little bit of a generation, not a full generation, but a decade earlier, 81 NHL players played all 80 games in their schedule. 29 NBA players did. So what that means is over the course of the past decade, NHL players have continued to do what NHL players do, and that is play every single game that you're healthy to play. The NBA, that is getting less and less and less, 29 to 18 in the 10 years. In other words, in hockey, today's players still care about being men. And that is, by the way, as you know, a far, far more physically demanding, grueling, violent sport than the National Basketball Association. Yet they put their bodies through it, 4 games in 6 nights. Back-to-backs, nobody needs a night off. Nobody is saying that hockey players are a little too tired, just going to give them a little rest. They go play hockey because it's what they're paid to do, and they're men about it. Today's particularly NBA athletes, are just flat-out wussies. Now, I set it up in the beginning, so I'm going to follow through on it now. Mike Greenberg gave an opinion that I just shared with you, and he said he's not all right with this, and neither am I. That was very much, you know, a fan's perspective. You know, hey, we paid the ticket prices to see these guys. We want to see these guys. Come on, you can't do this to us, kind of a thing. Okay, Booger McFarland is a former player. Not surprisingly, he, like Mike Golic before him yesterday, whose chair he was sitting in, and like Mark Schlereth after him, all three of them as former players took a very different approach. Give this a listen.
And I'm going to take the other side because I understand what the teams are doing. Because come the end of the basketball season, in most cases, we're going to judge these teams by where they are in the playoffs and some teams by how many championships or how many championship runs that they've made. So I understand what Ty Lue did. I understand what Greg Popovich did. And the responsibility of those coaches are to the players and to their organizations. And I get the fans, okay? I've signed autographs for the fans and lined up and tried to give the fans the utmost time. But at some point, and I don't want this to sound the wrong way, the fans have to understand the ultimate goal is to win a championship. And if the coach and Ty Lue or Popovich say, you know what, I need to rest my guys because I know that down the stretch, come May, June, July, they're going to need their legs, I'm okay with that, Snick. Like, I'm okay, and I understand because to me, we're taking this little bitty molehill and making it into a mountain. Ah, every night guys are getting rested. It doesn't happen every night. LeBron said it best. I've been in this league 14 years. I played in every arena. Okay, so I missed last night. But what about all the times I've been there? And so for my money, I'm okay with this. And if I would have paid money and gotten to this game and LeBron wasn't playing, yeah, I would have been bummed. But I also understand the bigger picture. It's not about me. I understand most fans think it's about them. It's not about them.
Right.
It's not. And the moment the fans realize that, and I don't want the people to say, well, Booger hates the fans. No, I understand what the ultimate goal is. In professional sports, we line up. Yeah, we want to entertain the fans, but we are trying to win a championship. And if the coach puts us in the best position to do that, I'm okay with that.
All right. So many things wrong with what Booger McFarland said. So many things. He came out and essentially said, the goal is to win a championship, and if the coaches feel like they need to have those guys rested so that they're ready to go in May and June, then I understand that. He completely ignored and dismissed Greenberg's point about DeMarcus Cousins. The Kings are what, 6-15? The only way they're going to the playoffs is if they buy tickets. They don't have anything to rest for. DeMarcus Cousins has nothing to rest for. I understand Booger wanting to make his point, but he ignored the point about Boogie Cousins. He doesn't have anything to rest for. They're just giving him a night off to baby him. NBA players are babied. And it's just got to stop. That's exactly what that is. That's babying players. And you know something? It hasn't always been this way. It is the younger generation of players. It is the millennial crowd. In this country, the same millennials that voted for Bernie Sanders because give me free stuff. Dude said he'd give me free stuff, and getting free stuff is a hell of a lot more fun than having to pay for it. Getting free stuff is a hell of a lot more fun than having to work for it. Today's younger millennial student type athlete, you know, crowd, they want the easiest way out possible. They were men when Wilt did what he was doing that Greenberg described. But they didn't stop there. As I did yesterday on this program, I brought this up, that just 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, not going back 55 years ago, but going back to, you know, to Jordan, to Allen Iverson, to Magic Johnson, to Larry Bird, and so on and so forth, they weren't taking it, to Kobe Bryant, they weren't taking games off just because, hey, it's a back-to-back and I need a break, unless they were 36, 37, 38, 39 years old and the wheels really were. You know, a lot of miles on those tires, I get that. But they're playing every single game that's on the schedule because that's what they're paid to do. And quite frankly, it's because it's what they wanted to do. I can tell you that what I have noticed through the years and years and years that I've been watching this, and I've been watching it my whole life, I've been talking about it on the radio for about 20 years now. And I can tell you that what I see in terms of the attitude, the difference in attitude from older generation players to younger generation players, particularly in the NBA, particularly there, is that they don't enjoy it as much as the players in the older years did. They wouldn't think about taking a game off because I don't want to miss a game. Do you remember being in Little League? Do you remember your youth? When you had a baseball game scheduled that night, and you came home from school, and the clouds looked dark, and the sky looked dark, and then it might rain, and then you find out that it is going to rain, and then you're still waiting, and you put your uniform on about a half hour before the game, and then the rain starts to fall, and then you realize the game's been canceled to protect the field. Remember how depressing it was that you didn't get a chance to play that day? That's how the players in the NBA used to be. They wouldn't miss a game. They don't want to miss a game. If they got a hamstring, they're like, no, let's wrap it up. Tape it up. I want to play. They liked games. Today's players look for reasons to miss games. And if their coaches say, hey, we want you to sit out, they're not putting up a fight. They're like, all right, cool. I'll see you. I'm going to the casino. Have a nice trip. I don't know if anybody went to the casino last night. It's just a figure of speech to say they don't care. They don't care if they miss games. The youthful excitement and exuberance of playing the game is gone in the modern generation. The millennial generation doesn't want to work for it. They want to take as much as they can take and give as much, as little, I should say, as they have to give to get it. That's the bottom line. And I got a big problem with that. I really, really do. There is an issue here with the players. It's not just a coach's decision. Let's move on to the other player that was on the panel. We go from Booger, which is disgusting, to Stink, which is just as disgusting. Even though these guys are both awesome.
I look at it several different ways, and I agree with you. It is about the players. I mean, you bring back that 1955, and you also mentioned in this new CBA, the average salary is $9 million. As an organization, you're protecting assets. I mean, these guys are assets now, and the management of that is an important...
I'm going to pause that there because I need to, otherwise I'll forget to come back to it later. Was Michael Jordan not an asset? Was Kobe Bryant not an asset? Was Allen Iverson not an asset that needed to be protected? Was Wilt Chamberlain not an asset? Come on. Come on. Got to protect our assets here because they're made of glass and they might break. No, come on. Stop.
Aspect, when you're paying that much money and you're paying, you know, a LeBron James $30 million, man, it is about winning a championship. And I would say this, if you're a huge, you live in Memphis and you're a huge LeBron James fan, you got tickets, that stinks that he didn't play. But the ultimate goal is I would rather him be fresh at the end to win a championship for my team than have not, you know, than seeing him in that particular night.
Was Michael Jordan not fresh when he went to six NBA finals and won all six as the MVP? Was he not fresh because he played 82 games? Was Kobe Bryant not fresh when he won five NBA titles and played 80 to 82 games in his career, six, seven, eight, nine times? We're talking in the times that he didn't, it was because of injury, not because of rest, because Kobe's a guy that Phil Jackson said, hey, I'm going to sit you just because we've played a lot of basketball lately. He'd probably look him in the eye and say, who are you talking to? Just get out of the way and give me the ball. I'm going to go drop 42 to show you how tired I am. That's what Kobe Bryant was made of. Today's players are flat-out wussies. They don't care. They don't have the pride in it. And they certainly don't give a rat's behind about the fans, which is the other part. I said almost everything Booger said was wrong. I didn't even get to that. That's why I kind of should have paused it in the middle so I didn't. When he said the fans are not the most important thing and they need to realize that, I call bullcrap. Who is more important to any professional franchise than the fans? When the Cavaliers just won their championship, did the players just get together themselves, or did they have a parade in front of 3 million fans? I want you to think about it for a moment. The fans are the ones who put 23 on their back. The fans are the ones that buy the Andre Drummond jerseys. Let's make sure that our Detroit friends are included in this. The fans are the ones that rode along with the players to the championships when the Bad Boys won. They paid for the tickets. They watch the games on TV. They listen to them on the radio. They buy the merchandise. And they make the millions of dollars, the league-wide billions, hundreds of millions for each team owner. They make it possible. And those team owners then transfer those dollars to the pockets of these players. Everything they do revolves around the fans. And when the fans stop showing up, what happens? Then teams leave that city in search of what? Better fans that will show up more often. Why do you think the Oklahoma City Thunder is in Oklahoma City? Because the fan support in Seattle dropped. It's one of the reasons why the Browns went to Baltimore and became the Ravens. When the fans stop coming, owners leave and go look for better fans. Don't try to tell me that it's not about the fans first. It absolutely is. It has to be. It's what they play for. It's who they are paid by, and it's who they play to celebrate with. They didn't win a championship. They don't win a championship and then have parades in front of people that don't matter. They do it because that's what it was all about. A little bit more from Stink.
Well, I agree with
that. I will say this, though. I know how professional sports works. You buy an individual ticket for that particular game, and there's a premium to see the Cleveland Cavaliers because of the stars. That's not right. I mean, that's the one that should be like, he didn't play, you know, and you're paying a premium to go watch the Cavaliers, the world champs, play. That to me is an issue.
Yeah, he's talking about refunding, and Greenberg brought that up too, about refunding ticket prices to people who, you know, bought tickets specifically to see LeBron James play and then only to find out he was a healthy scratch, that they should get their money back. And that is something that, you know, I think ought to be considered as well. All right, I got a lot more on this, but I know I got a lot of callers too, and I got to get to a Sports Center timeout. So let me get a couple quick calls in here before we take that first timeout. John in Cleveland, John is in Toledo. We're talking about Cleveland because the Cavaliers left three guys there when the team was in Memphis yesterday. But John is in Toledo right here. Go ahead, John. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just, you know, I like to say that, the thing about the assets, you had just brought it up to fans being the number one asset because, you know, if we don't show up, they don't get paid. But, you know, my idea anyways was if you're going to sit out a game, travel with the team. An hour before the game, put the players at a table in a concourse, have them sign autographs for the fans. Those kids don't walk away not seeing, you know,
totally
their stars.
Totally agree.
Yeah, they can do that. An hour before,
at least have them there in a shirt and tie or a suit coat and a golf shirt or whatever, like they're required to do, and go there and give a wink to a fan, give a wave, take a selfie with them, do all the stuff you're talking about. At least give the fans what they bought tickets to see. And if they're not going to see you dunk or hit a three, let them see you at the very, very least. I think that's it's a tiny, tiny step toward repairing a very bad situation.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, my
friend. That's all
thank
I had.
You. Thank you, John. Good stuff. Let me get Dave in Toledo, and then we got to get a timeout because we got to talk to Aaron McMahon coming up. We're already late for him, poor guy. Dave, go ahead. You're on the air.
I'll make it brief. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Sure.
I was going to put on some of the points about, you know, this would be a D league, and these guys would only be making $1,000 or whatever, and they wouldn't even be interested in playing pro basketball. It wasn't for the fans. But that wasn't my point. Like in 1982
or
so.
It's a real good one.
In 1982, there was an exhibition game at Centennial Hall, which was the Lakers versus the Celtics.
Yeah.
Magic Johnson, it was a preseason.
Right.
Okay. An exhibition. Magic Johnson had a sprained ankle, and he played the entire first half. I was there live. I watched it, and guys aren't just built like that anymore, and you were absolutely correct. Yeah, for an exhibition game, he played the entire first half of a sprained ankle. And
I'll tell you what, that's an amazing story, and that's exactly it. They're not built like that anymore. They're not raised like that anymore. They're pampered and they're coddled like the players didn't used to be. And I had an almost identical experience with the exception of the injury. There was a preseason game, an exhibition game that was played out in Cleveland back in like 90. I don't know when did Gretzky go to the Kings? When did Gretzky go to the Kings from Edmonton? It was around, 91, 92, 93, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, 93, I think, roughly.
Obviously there's no professional hockey team in Cleveland where I grew up, but they played one in Cleveland. It was Gretzky and Lemieux. It was Kings and Penguins were had an exhibition game, and I had never, ever been to a professional hockey game before. I never drove to Detroit. I never drove to Pittsburgh. I mean, I grew up in Cleveland. There wasn't hockey other than the Barons for 5 minutes in the 70s. So I got a ticket to that, and I can tell you this. If I'd have showed up there and they'd have said, even in the preseason, that Gretzky wasn't playing or Lemieux wasn't playing, I'd have been livid. And not to mention disappointed and crushed, but they played and they played the entire game, and I got a chance to see the two of maybe the three or four greatest hockey players who ever lived, with nods, of course, to maybe Gordie Howe and Bobby Hull and maybe a couple other guys. I got a chance to see that, and you know what? That's the only time I ever paid for a hockey game there, and if it was taken away from me because of a healthy scratch or even an exhibition game, a rest, I would have been just so disappointed. So that's a great story that you just told about Magic and Bird, and that's what I'm talking about. They don't get it today.
And the neatest thing about it, real quick, at halftime, even though Larry Bird's an introvert, Magic and Larry went up and they were signing autographs in about the first 40 rows. And the looks on the kids' face, you can't, you know, for them to say it, it's not about the fans, it's about making kids happy. And that's the only reason they're millionaires. And it, all those people that don't get the point, I was ashamed to hear Stink and Booger McFarlane, who's older and more educated, to bring that up. I thought that was...
Yeah.
They're way missing the point, and it's probably because they're entitled. They're doing the job that you love, Bob, at getting paid ridiculous amount of money, and they don't realize how lucky they are. That's an absolute. It's got to be a fact.
I think that's very true.
And I appreciate it.
They come at
it
from a player's perspective, and not, you know, because they've been that their whole lives. People are paying to come and watch them play. They don't know what it's like to be the one paying to go watch somebody play. They had the other way around. Hey, Dave, I got to run. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. By the way, Jim Cushman reminds me it was '88 that Gretzky went to the Kings. So it wasn't in the early '90s like I thought. It was '91.
Yeah, he played through '94, '95 season. So '88, '89 is when Edmund sent him away.
It was early in that. I think it must have been 91 or so that they had that exhibition.
Yeah, you're in the right block of time, though.
Yeah, I figured it was. I just couldn't remember the exact year. All right, let me get a time out here. We're so late. I want to talk to Aaron McMahon about this when we come right back. Or no, not. I take that back. He's 4:05, isn't he? I'm sitting here thinking I'm going right past my time with Aaron McMahon of MLive.com, but I don't think he's scheduled for 3:35 after all. He is 4:05, so that means we're doing okay. But we do need the Sports Center timeout right after I tell you about the Buckeye Store and More, the college and pro superstore. You have got to get yourself out to Sylvania for your Christmas shopping. Christmas is 10 days away, and if you're scoring at home, and if you're not scoring at home, well, I just scored it for you. You've got to get your Buckeye fans all of the gear and apparel and gift and novelty items that you could imagine from the Buckeye Store and More. Scarlet and Gray, Nirvana there, and also Michigan, Notre Dame, Michigan State, BG, Toledo, all fan zones inside the Buckeye Store and More. That's the "and more" part for the sports fan on your list. And right now, through Christmas, the largest store in Ohio dedicated to Buckeye gear is giving you 14% off every single item in the store. Why? Because there's 14 teams in the Big Ten, and the Big Ten had an outstanding season. That's why. Plus 50 to 75% savings on doorbuster items at the Buckeye Store and More in Sylvania, Starlight Plaza, 5700 Monroe. Look for Big Brutus on the Roof at the Buckeye Store and More. Right back after this.
Be part of the extravaganza right now by calling 866-240-1065. Now back to the Bob France extravaganza on 1065 The Ticket.
And we roll onward. It is 3:52. A little bit more of a somber start to this segment right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. And thanks for listening. A really good conversation about the NBA. And it's a saddened part of the conversation now as it stays kind of in the NBA. Longtime Turner Sports broadcaster and NBA fixture on the sideline, Craig Sager, has indeed passed away at the age of 65. This just literally came down within the last few minutes. Statements being made by Turner Sports. David Levy said in a statement, Craig Sager was a beloved member of the Turner family for more than three decades and has been a true inspiration to all of us. There will never be another Craig Sager. His incredible talent, tireless work ethic, and commitment to his craft took him all over the world covering sports. While he will be remembered fondly for his colorful attire and the TNT sideline interviews he conducted with NBA players and coaches, it's the determination, grace, and will to live he displayed during his battle with cancer that will be his lasting impact. Our thoughts and prayers are with Craig's wife, Stacy, and the entire Sager family during this difficult time. We will forever be Sager strong. For those who, and that's the end quote. For those who don't know, and you probably know Craig Sager had been battling cancer, but he has been fighting acute myeloid leukemia since he was first diagnosed in 2014. So almost 3 years later, he was still in this thing. And he was admitted to the hospital in late November, so just about 3 weeks ago, two, three weeks ago. And after his initial diagnosis, he continued to fight. He continued to work for Turner for more than 30 years. I'm sorry, he worked for Turner more than 30 years. Beg your pardon. But after his initial diagnosis, he missed the 2014 and 2015 NBA playoffs and part of the 2014-15 regular season as well. And he also missed the 2015 NCAA men's tournament. During the 2014 NBA playoffs, his son Craig Jr. did the sideline interview with Spurs coach Greg Popovich, whose interviews with Sager became must-watch television. And Popovich actually told Sager Jr., "You did a great job, but I'd rather have your dad standing here. Craig, we miss you. You've been an important part of all of this for a long time, doing a great job. We want your fanny back on the court, and I promise you I'll be nice." So everyone responding in the NBA world right now, no question. Everybody's talking about it. This was a really unique thing. Jim, remember we talked about this through a partnership between Turner Sports and the Finals just back in June. You remember this?
Yes.
Turner and ESPN, who are rivals essentially for NBA coverage, they partnered up. That's something that just doesn't happen.
That's true.
To allow Craig Sager to work his very first NBA Finals game. The games were on ESPN and not Turner, so therefore it was no way this was going to happen unless they came to this, you know, this agreement. And they let Craig Sager work the first NBA Finals game, his first NBA Finals game in June. Sideline reporting with ESPN's Doris Burke for Game 6 between the Cavs and the Warriors, which, of course, the Cavaliers won. So just a very sad time, obviously. Everybody and anybody who's ever been touched by cancer, you know, certainly understands the feeling right now. But anybody who's just been a fan of the NBA through the years and have watched TNT and have watched Craig Sager know who he is and what he's all about, just a very, very sad time.
Yeah, absolutely. And now it more props in a twisted way because of this news today, Bob, go out to both Turner and the ESPN networks last June for working that out. Because you're right. You know, TV networks, they don't do things like that usually. I'm glad you brought that up. But, for NBA the fans and people everywhere, and the players too, obviously, as well, that this one will be missed.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And again, just the ramifications of that, or maybe that's not the right word, but just the impact of that. This man who worked for over 30 years covering games and doing all that had never, ever worked the finals.
Because Turner never had the finals.
Because his career and ultimately his life would have ended without him ever being there, you know, for that. And that's just such a sad thought that would have been that way. So they made his – it's almost like in a very strange way, it's almost like the Make-A-Wish Foundation. They take, you know, terminal kids and they try to make their wish come true, their dream come true. There's sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's Disney World or whatever it is, before they, you know, end up losing the fight that they're fighting to their deadly diseases. It's almost like that. It's like, let's get Craig his wish. Let's get him on the sideline in the finals, you know, so he can experience that after everything he has given to the game and to the fans through his coverage through the years. So just a really... you know, a great story in that aspect, but a sad one right now. At the age of 65, Craig Sager finally loses that battle to cancer. And our thoughts, of course, are with his family and of course, all of his fans, of which we are. All right. We are talking NBA, and coming up at about 4:05, we're going to continue the conversation on the players and the need for rest, and also a little bit about the CBA. The new collective bargaining agreement has been struck by the NBA and the owners and the players' union, and it's going to be a 7-year deal with the players having – actually, take that back. It's a mutual opt-out in the 7th year. It's a 7 years, as I understand it. Correct me if I'm wrong on this, Jim. It's 7 years, but after 6, there is a mutual opt-out, so either side can opt out after year number 6. That's the way I understand it. So, and that's certainly a fair thing. What is new and interesting in the deal? Well, some of it we'll talk about has to do with player age and when they can come into the NBA. The one and dones in college basketball, that's been something that a lot of people have a problem with. It was not addressed. Despite a proposal by the Players Association, it was not addressed in this new CBA. We're going to talk about that. And also, while there is some vague general references to, you know, trying to ease back on the schedule and then the number of 4 games and 5 nights types runs that teams have to play and the number of back-to-backs and that sort of thing, there is no definitive statement given on how players can and when they can or should be rested. And that's something that I think, you know, especially since it's time for the new CBA right now, that I really wish they would go back to the table and talk about, but they're not going to. And this is the only thing that I can think of that we'd be able to talk about in that regard. Kind of the wrap-up to the conversation they had this morning on Mike and Mike that I was playing for you earlier when Greeny suggests this.
Maybe the answer to this is that your season is too long. If you have a season, if your best players cannot play every game in a season, then maybe you have to think about having fewer games in your season.
Yeah, no, I will agree with that. I think 82 games in the NBA and 82 games in the NHL is a tad too many.
It didn't used to be too many.
66.
It wasn't too many 10 years ago.
And that's a big key. That's a big key, and if they think it's too many now, and they can't play 82 games without rest, et cetera, then guess what? They are indeed everything that I called them in the first segment of the program. They are wussies today. And by the way, just the NBA guys, because the hockey guys have none of this mess. Hockey guys play all four games in six nights. They play back-to-backs. They don't have any problems. 83 NHL players played every game of their schedules last year. And the ones who didn't, of course, were because of injuries, not because, well, we're tired and we need a break after four games and six nights, or as one of the four games and six nights. It's only the NBA kids who are being coddled and babied as if somehow they're going to break if they're actually used during the entire NBA schedule. So we'll get into that with Aaron McMahon of MLive.com. Take more of your phone calls as well as we continue right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Hats off to that unit that was in there. First unit, we came out, tie game. I think we let them get about 8. Then it got to 12. But that group battled back, and then we just wanted to finish it out. It was a lot of hard work, so we didn't want to let the team down. Played a good team tonight. We found a way just to get stops, to come out with a win. But we got to do that for 48 minutes every night.
We played much better offensively. I mean, defensively, we did okay most of the night. But offensively, I mean, we were pathetic. I mean, 13 turnovers in the first half. We averaged fewer than 12. Their pressure got to us. So we didn't take care of the ball. That's what kept them in the game. Our defense kept us around. And then we finally had a good offensive quarter. We hung around long enough to give ourselves a chance to have one good quarter.
Everybody's normally used to getting wide open shots, playing free and flow and having so much space, but it's hard to do that when those guys aren't on the floor. Looking for shots and just trying to create plays for others, doing more pick and rolls, trying to find that weak side corner guy. Something I haven't done in 3 years. Was trying to get back to it. Fortunately, that's over, so I can get back to my normal.
You know it's LeBron. I mean, guys send their guys out every night. When the Cavs do it, when LeBron does it, it's something different. So I understand, too, because, these people are waiting to see LeBron play. They wait for this moment, this opportunity. And, when he doesn't play, the best player in the world doesn't play. It's tough on the fans because it's close to Christmas, so a lot of it was Christmas presents and Christmas gifts. But, I mean, it wasn't nothing intentional. Like I said, it was just circumstance. And for me, it was the second night of a back-to-back, 4 and 6 nights. My training staff, said this would be a good night to sit him. And, he's been playing a lot of minutes and to travel on the back-to-back 2-hour flight. And, I just didn't think it was good for his body. They said it wasn't good for his body.
Well, see, in my day, when we rested in practice. 2002, we talked all that stuff about Allen Iverson and his practice rant. He actually had it right. Rest in practice. He never missed a game. I mean, it's just a new day. Obviously, with Coach Lou resting these guys, he's saying, I'm more worried about the playoffs. I'm more worried about the finals and not a regular season game.
They're going to change the schedule. So they're going to start the season around October 17th, October 18th. Start it a week earlier, cut down on back-to-backs, cut down on those four games and five nights that players hate. Adam Silver's been adamant because he's been asked this for weeks, months, even before what we saw tonight in Memphis. And his position is, as a league, we cannot tell coaches how to hand out minutes. We can't tell coaches when to rest guys, when to play guys. Obviously, it would be better if these guys took these rests at home so people in Memphis will only get one shot at seeing LeBron. They don't lose that. But the league is not going to step in and kind of control this.
This is the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Yeah, he's probably right. The league isn't going to step in and do something about this, but they absolutely positively should. The league is responsible for the product that they're selling. And if they are selling a product and then not delivering on what they advertise, then the league, to me, is in breach of their contract. Their contract with the fans. They talked about that this morning as well. As we continue into hour number two right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, we are Toledo Sports Leader. We talked about that, they talked about that a little bit this morning on ESPN. When they brought up the fact that the Grizzlies, just to throw them as out there as the example, every team does this, but the Grizzlies sold their 12-game package, among others. The deal is to try to sell season tickets, and then if you can't sell the full season tickets, you try to sell game packages and so on. You don't get to pick your games and buy individual game tickets until all of the season tickets and game packages are sold first, right? So the game package tickets advertised by the Memphis Grizzlies and their marketing department said, buy a Grizzlies 12-pack. And I don't remember exactly what they called it, but it doesn't matter. Buy a Grizzlies 12-pack. This includes, and it would show some of the featured games. You'll get games against, the crap fest. You'll get games against, the Knicks or the Nets or the this or that or the other. But this package includes LeBron James and the world champion Cleveland Cavaliers coming to Memphis. Well, if you advertise LeBron James in your ticket, marketing from your marketing department in your ticket package, and you don't deliver LeBron James because he was a healthy scratch, this isn't some act of God, This isn't something where he broke his leg the night before or even tweaked his hamstring or something and he can't play. This is a decision not to play LeBron James or his two running mates as part of the big three that made them the, quote, defending NBA champions that they advertised in their ticket pack. This was just a healthy scratch. If you promise that and don't deliver it, to me, you've got a problem. You've breached your financial contract with the fans, and I think the league absolutely needs to do something about it. All right, let's see what other people think. Welcoming Aaron McMahon back to our program now. Aaron covers the NBA, and more particularly the Detroit Pistons, for MLive.com. Hey, Aaron, how you been?
I'm good, Bob. How about yourself?
I'm great. Thanks for joining us back here again on The Ticket in Toledo. We certainly appreciate your time and your analysis. All right, Aaron, what say you about this big national controversy now about healthy scratches like LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love? Last night, I think it was DeMarcus Cousins as well, did not play because his coach said he just deserves a rest because he's been carrying a heavy load. Mark Gasol, in the first night of that back-to-back between the Grizzlies and the Cavaliers, did not play just due to, it said right in the box score, DNP rest. What's your takeaway on all this?
Yeah, you know, I'm mixed. You know, I think it should be ultimately up to the teams. You know, they're the ones playing the game. They're the ones, you know, deciding whether they're going to win or lose a basketball game. It is their careers. It is their bodies, and everything else. But like you mentioned, there's that flip side where the fans buy tickets, they buy jerseys, they watch these games with the assumption that, you know, everybody available is going to play. And they're not. So I understand from a fan's perspective, you know, they're disappointed. They pay to park, you know, they pay for concessions, they pay for the tickets in some instances, you know, hundreds of dollars and where you want to sit. And then they show up and then, you know, like you mentioned, LeBron or Kyrie or whoever the case may be, isn't playing. But like I mentioned, I think it ultimately comes down to the teams. And I look at this kind of a little bit like economics, free market economics. You know, I don't think the league should be able to, force somebody to or force a team to do something. They can certainly furnish the conditions to make it more, acceptable to play guys. So I think with this CBA, for instance, they're proposing, or under this new CBA, they're going to start the season, I think a week earlier, than usual. So I think you're going to see the number of back-to-backs, cut down. You're going to see the number of four and fives cut down. So I think that's to make, teams more likely to play these guys. So if the fans are upset with anybody, I think it should be with the teams. You know, I don't think they necessarily should be able to step in here or should be forced to step in here and do something. They can choose to, and it sounds like they are. I understand, you know, Adam Silver's upset. I don't think he likes to see teams resting players all the time, but it happens. You know, it's evil necessity of the game at this point. And I think you're going to see it continue to happen.
But is it a necessity is the question, you know, because this thing was popularized, as I'm sure you realize, Aaron, you've been covering the league for a while. This was popularized by Greg Popovich and the Spurs. But this only became popularized when his guys who were aging in their mid-30s and in the last couple of years, you know, Tim Duncan in his upper 30s, Manu Ginobili in his upper 30s, these guys just quite frankly can't run the floor. 82 nights a year, 4 and 5, back-to-backs, et cetera, the way they could when they were in their mid-20s or their late 20s or their early 30s. And that's when he started resting them to make sure they had enough gas left in their tanks for May and June. And I think a lot of people understood that. I did, and I defended Popovich for this. But we're talking about 24-year-old Kyrie Irving and 28-year-old Kevin Love and 31-year-old LeBron James, who says he's in the best physical shape he's ever been in his life. He said he feels better now than he has at any point in his NBA career physically. These guys don't need rest to be able to make it through June. These guys are young, healthy, and energetic and ready to go. And they didn't just sit them. They sat them all at the same time. And that, Aaron, is where I'm wondering if the NBA can't jump in and say it is your obligation as franchises, and you know, they talk to the owners, and then the owners have to get this through their coaches, or to the GMs and through the coaches, whatever the chain of command is. It is your responsibility to put a quality NBA product on the floor each and every night. And if you want to rest a guy who is one of your key guys, okay, you rest another guy another night. But you don't rob an NBA city like Memphis of all three of your all-stars, you know, your quote-unquote big three for the defending champions on the same night. That's just out of convenience. Maybe they can do something like that, because last night they sent a D-League team. They sent a JV team to Memphis for the Cavaliers' only visit to, you know, Memphis this entire season as a Western Conference club. And that's crazy. That is just insane for them to be able to do that.
Yeah, no, you got a point. And the NBA could, and maybe they're thinking about possibly, you know, exploring, you know, some type of rule to prevent this from happening. But then you look at the flip side, you know, say they start to do that. Then you might see teams, begin to come up with injuries just to rest guys. Cause, you know, you gotta think, you know, behind the scenes, they're scheming and they're trying to figure out when these guys are gonna get rest and everything else.
Why would they need to come up with a fake injury? Cause we're not saying you can't do it. We're just saying don't do it all at the same time. You know what I mean? Why didn't Kyrie get this one off and LeBron get the next time they have a back-to-back off and Kevin get the next one? Why all three of them at the same time? You know, you don't need to fake the injury. We're telling you it's okay to rest them just for the purposes of rest if they need to, which I still think is insane because they don't. they didn't in the last 20, 30, 40 years. But, you know, I mean, guys played every game that they were healthy. You know, it was because they wanted to. I mean, they felt like it was their job. They felt like it was, what they had to do for their teams to win. They didn't want to just take days off. So it's a different mindset now. But if they're giving them the permission to do that, despite not needing to, then why need to fake injuries? Just make sure you don't do it all in the same night.
No, you're right. And I think you're starting to see the advent of, you know, advanced statistics and just stats in general come into play now. You know, you see some of these players and maybe their agents and those behind the scenes, they're lobbying for, you know, longer playing careers for some of these guys, especially, you know, these superstars like LeBron James, you know, and Kyrie Irving and, you know, for Detroit, you know, Andre Drummond. I'm just throwing names out there. But some of these guys, you know, they want longer careers, they'll make more money, and stay in the league longer. So they look at this as, you know, periodically, I'm going to need to rest. I want to rest my body. I'm not going to, you know, run rough shot, 82 games a year, play all 82 games, you know, 30, 35 minutes a game, when I don't necessarily need to. You know, the team may be, you know, against, like, say, a Philadelphia or a, you know, a Dallas or whoever the case may be. You know, when you're struggling, you can afford to rest some of your better guys, and still not necessarily affect, you know, from a game, you still got a shot to win. So I think you're seeing a lot more scheming behind the scenes from agents and things like that in terms of wanting to prolong careers.
We're talking to Aaron McMahon of MLive.com. He covers the NBA and the Detroit Pistons for MLive, and Jim Cushlin is alongside as well on the extravaganza. Jimmy, go ahead.
You know, and I'm trying to think about all this because a lot of what you were saying in the first hour when we were talking about this is correct. I wonder, though, if there's extra smaller things that are contributing to this, specifically in the NBA. And therefore, I'm going to throw out two things for both of you, really. But you too, of course, Aaron. I wonder if, A, even though I think this is completely wrong, you know, it's in some of the heads of some people in the NBA, which is, well, look, all those Warriors played last year, won 73 games, and then you get Steph Curry hurt in the playoffs. Even though those don't really have anything to do with each other, I know that meme went out to in the heads of certain GMs and things and people across the league. I know that went out there last spring during the playoffs. And something else that factors into this, too, that I wonder if this might have anything to do with it. I think it was on Marcelo and Cannell I was listening to yesterday when this mm-hmm. subject was being covered. And one thing they said is, at the same time, though, if you were to ask a player, they'd probably say, well, give me the whole game off because I don't want to play 15 minutes and have my numbers go down, because then when I'm up for free agency, they're going to say, well, we didn't get as much production from you. Well, I played 82 games and my coach was resting me. So during games like they used to, by saying not playing a fourth quarter or something like that, especially if it's a blowout, that will make numbers go down. I wonder if those small couple of things, for example, on the periphery have anything to do with this, more specifically in the NBA. Because, Bob, you mentioned the first hour. In the NBA, this is a little more prevalent than in the other sports.
In all of the other sports. You know, this is the only one where it happens. And hockey is a far more grueling game. They play just about the same number of games, 80 games, right, in a hockey schedule, 82 in the NBA. And they play every night. They play 4 and 6. They play back-to-backs, and it's not an issue for them. I doubt, in my opinion, and Aaron, I'll let you finish up on this one, but in my opinion, I doubt the points per game thing or whatever. Hey, I don't want to play just 15 minutes and my numbers go down when it comes to free agency. Guys know what tier they fall in. I don't think anybody's contract offer from any team looking at a free agent is going to drop if somebody's numbers are 26 points a game instead of 27.5 because they played partial games that may have dropped it by a little bit. I don't think that's going to impact somebody's contract status. But, Aaron, what do you think?
No, you get a point. And this kind of goes back to what I was mentioning earlier, too. But there are more these studies that I remember reading over the summer, these before this NBA season actually began. But there's these studies that are coming out, and ESPN's doing these projections of, you know, I remember, for instance, with the Pistons specifically, there were a couple games they identified as either sure wins or sure losses just based on backs and playing 3 and 4 nights and playing back to back and then there's all these scenarios thrown out there and they identified these as sure wins or sure losses. So I think teams are kind of looking at that and they're taking some of that data in the context and they're realizing, well, you know, maybe if we look at these advanced numbers and these statistics and whatever the case might be they're looking at, we might not have a shot to win this game. So why even play our guys? So I think with this advent of all the technology and advanced stats, these studies and, everything else, teams are looking, I don't want to say looking for excuses, but, they're, I guess, pressured, to maybe give some of these guys rest when necessarily, 5, 10, 20 years ago, that wasn't the case.
Yeah, and not just that. I mean, let's go to 55 years ago. Let me play a quick clip for you. I don't know if you get a chance to listen to ESPN in the mornings or not, Aaron, but let me just play this clip from Mike and Mike this morning. Mike Greenberg lays out a very, very important point here. I'll get your reaction to this.
Here's another part of the story. DeMarcus Cousins sat out a game last night. Boogie Cousins,
Boogie.
The Sacramento Kings, who obviously are resting him for the playoff run. They're 9-16. So obviously they've got enormous championship aspirations. They're going to need him well rested when they get deep into June. And his coach, Dave Yeager, said, there's just different points in the season. It looks like he's carrying quite a load. He scored 30. He played 30. He scored 36 points the other night, got 15 or 16 rebounds. He's got to do this. He's got to do that. Sometimes it's just good to take a break. That's what he said about Boogie Cousins.
And I should interject there, by the way, Aaron, for your illumination. Boogie Cousins is 26 years old. Not 36, 26 years old in the prime of his young superstar athletic life. Now let's continue.
On this date, by comparison, in 1961, Wilt Chamberlain was in the midst of a stretch in which he played 6 games in 7 days. In those 6 games in 7 days, he played every minute of every game, including 63 minutes in a triple overtime game in the first of those 6 games in 7 days. Over the course of that stretch, he averaged 57.2 points per game. He was carrying something of a load, I suppose, yeah. And no one decided. He just looked like he needed a little bit of a break. Now, I recognize that's 55 years ago,
right.
And a lot has changed. But you know what? A lot has changed in the way these guys eat and the way they travel and all of that kind of stuff. I'm sorry. I'm not okay with this.
The last part is so very important to that conversation, Aaron. In my opinion, after he told the story about Wilt, today's athletes are pampered so much better in so many ways. They are trained better. Their nutritionists know exactly how to feed the body right to make it, put it at its peak performance level night after night. Their weight training is better. Their travel is more comfortable. Every amenity they have is better. And yet they can't seem to play, all of their games. And then you hear that story of Wilt 55 years ago, and all of that was so much less and so much weaker. And he's just one example of just a different mentality. 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, and dare I say even 20 years ago, nobody was pulling this nonsense about, well, I'm just going to take a rest. I'm fully healthy, but I want to rest.
Yeah, and I'll bring this locally too. We've talked to the Pistons coach, Steve Van Gundy, on this topic actually several times now. The season actually began. I remember coming up just a week or two into the regular season, and when I think Memphis was resting Marc Gasol then and Mike Conley, and it was a week or two in. Van Gundy was asked a question, and he said he doesn't believe in that type of thing, and he brought up for a similar example, Michael Jordan. He said Jordan never took a night off. The guy who played 35 to 40 minutes a game, won a bunch of NBA rings and never had a problem. So yeah, it's definitely a different times. Guys, I think are looking to prolong their careers, especially with the way salaries and money being thrown around the NBA nowadays. They look at this as an opportunity. And I guess I don't blame teams, and I don't blame the players. If they can get away with it, do it, they're going to. And that's why I said kind of up to the NBA. I don't necessarily mean this or a requirement or some type of mandate, but I think the league, and you're starting to see it with, like I mentioned, the new CBA, they're going to have to start making some changes. I don't think you can force teams to not rest guys. It's because, like I said, they're going to use ways around there. So I think it's up to the league to make the environment more friendly for these players and these teams.
Yeah, and I don't know what more they can do to make it more friendly. Like I said, they're just coddling them and babying them like nobody has ever you know, could even imagine for guys who are making tens of millions of dollars a year. And that's the part of this to me that I think also jumps out to the average fan. You know, the part where, you know, these guys are making more money than the rest in a season that we'll make in our lifetimes. Many of them in a month that an average person will not make in their lifetime. And we're going to work, you know, 300 days a year. All we get off is the weekends in most cases. I'm just thinking of the average 9-to-5 middle-class American schmo. You know, Joe Lunchbox is working every day. They don't get a day off for rest. Yeah, they might get 2 weeks vacation, but in the NBA, you get 6 months vacation when your season is over. You might get, you know, holidays off or sick days off, but you don't just get, yeah, I'm healthy, I feel fine, but I just kind of needed a rest. I really busted my butt on the assembly line last week. I'm just going to take a day. You take a day like that, you're going to get fired. And so they're looking at guys making so much more money than they are. They're asked to play 82 nights a year, plus playoffs, but 82 nights a year. And for them to say, yeah, well, you know, I worked really hard in my last couple of nights, so I'm going to take this one off, or to have their coaches say, yeah, my guy worked really hard the last couple of nights. DeMarcus Cousins, at the age of 26, doesn't need to go out there and earn tonight's $254,000 game check, or whatever his contract averages out to through 82 games. So we're going to give him the night off. The average fan can't deal with that. The average fan can't grab that. And certainly if the average fan bought a ticket to see that guy and they don't get it, that's going to just add to his disgust and his dismay, and it's going to be eventually, I think, something that costs this, costs this league.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly something that they'll have to face, and I understand, like I mentioned earlier, I understand the fans' frustrations. I would be frustrated too. You know, when you pay a ticket or whatever the case may be to see a specific guy or a team, and you don't get the whole version. It's understandable. I get it. But it's evil reality that we have to deal with at this point.
You mentioned Jordan a moment or two, Aaron, too, a moment or two ago. Here's Michael Jordan's games played. 82-18, obviously in an injured season there in 85-86. 82-82, 81, 82, 80, 78, 17, an injured season. 82-82, 82, 60, when he came back for the Washington Wizards and wasn't a full season for him. And then even in his last season, in his last year, he played in all 82 games, didn't need a rest, despite the fact that his body was pushing up near 40 years old, I should say, in his last year of 2002-2003 with the Wizards. 82 games. There was a pride factor that players used to have, I think, about wanting to play every night because, A, it's their job, B, they're earning millions for it, and C, they liked it. They're driven by a competitive desire to go out there and play and win every single night if they can, and to not just kind of kick back and, you know what, I'm gonna take this one off. See you guys. Have a good trip. And I think that's one of the things. Kush, you said you got another one. Go ahead, bud.
You know, I want to tie some of this, and you mentioned this a few minutes ago, Aaron. When we were on this subject, it's hard to figure out exactly what the NBA – there are options, I'm sure, that we can all come up with, but what the NBA could do about this. But tying it back to part of the CBA that got tentatively agreed to yesterday, the only thing that sort of addresses this is one of the few things to bring up, because a lot of it was, of course, with money and contracts and how some certain things work on that. But one of the things that got brought up is they're going to shorten the preseason. They're going to start the season about a week earlier. So, Bob, you'll remember this. I kept calibrating how game one of the Cavs season opener will be game one of the World Series. Now opening day for the NBA is more like game one of the LCS in mid-October. It's going to reduce the back-to-back even more than they're already trying to. And right now we're in a situation, because of what they tried to work with coming into this season, we're already in a situation where no team is playing more than one of those four game in five-night stretch. You move the season back another week, for example, and you might be able to eliminate that completely. So they're trying to build more of this in as best they can without making, you know, any extra rules, which obviously, you know, they were trying to get the agreement done, so this kind of newer story, at least in the context of all three, the big three for the Cavs sitting last night, didn't really play into this, but that's the one way in the CBA that they're going to partially try to address this. Your thoughts on any of this?
Aaron, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it, like I mentioned, I guess it's a Band-Aid to try and fix it. I don't know if it will. I don't know if it'll discourage more or encourage more of anything. I don't know. But it's certainly an option. I think it makes sense. You know, in talking to the players, specifically the Pistons, you know, they don't like the back to backs. They don't like the 3 and 4 nights. You know, when you build in all the travel and everything else. And that was one of the things that isn't brought up too. The NBA schedule is probably one of the toughest in terms of travel and everything else. So I get it from their aspect, but I think the players will like this. I think it's something they prefer. But I'm curious to see if it does change.
Yeah, I am too. And I know, like, you know, the NBA, you know, the commissioner, Adam Silver, you know, the front office people are in the league offices. That is, they're loathe to try to tell coaches how to play guys again. If you want to minimize guys' number of games, if you want to coddle them, and if you want to let them be cowards and wusses and not want to play all 82 games the way their contract says they should, I guess that is up to you. But the league could mandate you must put a presentable product on the floor, and the league has some subjective say in that. And if you sit all three of your all-stars and send a D-League team out there, then that's not going to fly. You're going to pay some serious consequences. Not a $250,000 token fine like they gave Popovich and the Spurs a few years ago when David Stern was still in charge, but a $2 million fine, something that's really going to mean something so that they give these fans what they're paying for. Last thing before you run, Aaron McMahon, obviously we're talking all things NBA. Let's talk briefly about the Pistons. A very ugly effort against the 76ers a couple of nights ago, wiped out last night, or at least responded to last night with a pretty solid win over the Mavericks. Your overall opinion of where they are at now, what, a game over 500?
Yeah, they're still trying to figure things out. Like, you know, Reggie Jackson's been back, I think, 6 games now. You know, he's still not 100%. He's still trying to get up to speed conditioning wise. And it's a team still trying to figure themselves out. I think if you give them 2 more weeks, I think we'll see the real Pistons. You know, one thing we do know for certain is this is a deeper team than it was last year when you guys saw them in the playoffs. They actually have a bench now. They have a scorer, a point guard on the bench. John Moore's really picked up. He's been really, really good. He's kind of their Suedo sixth man, I guess, so to speak. But this is a deeper Pistons team. They're still waiting for Reggie Jackson to get healthy. But I think once he does, you're going to see a Pistons team make a run here. You know, I think they have a shot to finish top half of the Eastern Conference. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they get a fourth seed. But I guess time will tell at this point.
Absolutely right. Hey, Aaron, we really appreciate the discussion. It's always fun when you visit. Thanks so much for making the time this afternoon. We hope to talk again.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Aaron. Aaron McMahon, MLive.com, joining us, talking a little bit of NBA this afternoon right here on the Extravaganza. We are going to shift gears into the college game coming up in a few, because we're going to talk to the head coach of the Toledo Rockets, Todd Kowalczyk. He will join us to talk about all things UT right after I tell you about the sweet deal of the week this week. It's a $50 gift certificate to the House of Meats. House of Meats has 8 locations around the Toledo area for the best butcher shop style meats in the area. Log on to 106livetheticket.com. Beginning tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, and get one of these $50 gift certificates for just $25. How about that? Half price. That is a Christmas gift. That's a stocking stuffer right there. You can get it tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, or you can get a $50 gift certificate for free right now if you are the 8th caller to 866-240-1065. 866-240-1065. Get your meat on with a gift certificate from the House of Meats. More coming up with Coach Kowalczyk of UT right after this.
Back to Bob France, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Indeed, rolling onward, final segment of the broadcast this afternoon on Toledo's Sports Leader. We turn our attention to Toledo basketball, away from the NBA into the college game now. Once again, as we welcome Coach Todd Kowalczyk, the head coach at UT, for his weekly visit right here on The Ticket. Hey, Coach, how are you?
Doing good, Bob. How you doing?
I'm great. I appreciate your time. Coach, first question is are you working by the hour, or are you paying your guys by the hour?
Absolutely not.
You got to be, because how do we have 5 overtime games already? It's like you guys like playing the extra minutes. A nation-high 5, and I think that ties a Toledo record for a number of overtime games in a single season, and we haven't even gotten to conference play yet. You guys love playing those extra sessions.
Well, when you play a really good schedule, you know, if you have a, you know, we think we've got a pretty good team, and you play other good teams, you know, every game is going to be close.
No question.
And they've been... You know, they've been battles, and I know you and I have, and Jim have talked about our schedule in the past, but I think it's going to help us. Our guys are, I wouldn't say they're discouraged at all. I'd say they're, learning from some things and getting better. And I tell you what, you know, on Saturday night, we went down and played against a really good Marshall team at their place and played very well and deserved to win the game.
Yeah, you did. And unfortunately, as we talk about the schedule, and I'm glad you mentioned that they're not discouraged. I was going to ask you about their attitude, being that it's been a 4 games out of 5, you know, losing stretch for you. 3 of the 4 losses are in overtime. So you say they're not discouraged coming out of the Marshall game. 111-105 was the final. Talk about their attitudes and talk about, you know, the way they handled that, because you're right. That's a very good team and a very tough place to play, and you gave them all they wanted.
I think they were upset that we didn't win the game. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say discouraged one bit. If anything, they probably gained more confidence, going down there and playing in a really good environment. You know, there was 6,000 people. It was loud. It was, you know, they're right on top of you, you know, and I thought our guys executed. They played well. And, you know, they're obviously disappointed that we didn't win the game, and extremely disappointed how it ended in regulation, but they moved on from it, and, you know, they're looking forward to now having 5 straight home games, which is, you know, we've had 10 games, 7 of them on the road. You know, so we're excited about having a chance to be home for a while and catch our breath. And this week is an important week for all our student athletes. They're really worried about, you know, final exams and gearing up for that, making sure that we end academically the right way.
Absolutely right. We're talking to UT head coach Todd Kowalczyk. An update on Rockets basketball as we get each and every week with Coach Kowalczyk. Jim Cushlin is here as well. You mentioned him a moment ago, Todd. Say hi to him right now. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hi, Coach. You know, despite yet the other overtime game and the fun we all may want to have talking about that, though, this game would not – I'm looking at some just base numbers here. This game would not have been going to overtime if you didn't allow Marshall to shoot 62% of the from the field overall for this game. When you see field goal numbers for a opponents and that kind of numbers, I would imagine from your point of view, Coach, that's got to be borderline unacceptable.
Yeah, it is, you know, but it also, you know, you got to look, they had 19 earned points too, so you'd have to watch the film and evaluate where they get those shots from. And they are, you know, if you did some work too, Jim, you'd also look at, you know, how what they are offensively game by game. They're one of the best and most efficient offensive teams in the country.
Yeah, and that's a big part. I was going to say not just the opponent when you look at a field goal percentage like that Jim just brought up, Coach, but also the style of a game that it is. If it is a game in which you are content to play up and down with them, and you're going to get a lot of shots up, both sides are going to get a lot of shots up, and it's just a highly competitive offensive game, as the final score certainly at 111-105 would indicate that it was, sometimes that's not that's an anomaly. It's an outlier. It's not something you would look for on a regular basis.
Yeah, but 62% is unacceptable. We certainly, you know, need to do a better job defensively. But I do think we have gotten better in a lot of areas. But in that particular game, you know, it was a very high level game. Both teams, I thought, played very well, executed, made tough plays, made tough shots. You know, I think we attacked the offensive glass very well against them. You know, beat them on the glass. We still had, you know, particularly in the first half, some turnovers we'd like to have back, which led to, you know, some pretty easy baskets for them.
You said you beat them on the glass by 13, and that's kind of a rarity. I think you win the battle of the boards by 13, 43-30 final, in that battle, in that statistic. Generally, that leads to a win. It's, you know, it's a little uncommon to dominate the glass and lose, you know, even in an overtime fashion.
Well, we, you know, this year, I think we, in our 10 games, we've out-rebounded our opponents 9 of them. You know, so we continue to rebound the ball pretty well, but when you have a guy like, you know, Steve Taylor in the defensive glass, he's one of the best rebounders in the country and the best defense rebounder in the country. So that certainly helps our defensive rebounding numbers.
Yeah, he had a monster game, as did John Williams as well. You got 28 out of Williams and 27 out of Steve, and another double-double for him as well, 10 rebounds there. Who else stood out for you in that game? Who do you see making strides here in the first 10 games to the point where you know you're going to be able to count on more and more from them, you know, even going into this 5-game stretch you have in front of you right now at home?
Well, a guy that really has struggled with his confidence, and that's Nate Navigato, who's a very key part of our team and somebody that we are extremely high on, and he just really struggled offensively to make shots, and it's kind of affected him a little bit. But he came out of it against Marshall, was 4 for 7 from 3, had, you know, hit 3 really big ones down the stretch, you know, to get that, give us some separation. But, you know, he was, I thought, a very pleasant, I wouldn't say a surprise, but it was certainly good to have him get out of his funk a little bit. Jalen Sanford, I think, you know, played well. You know, he played against one of the better point guards, you know, in mid-major basketball. He's a heck of a player, the guy he went against. I thought he played pretty good. You know, Zach Garber and Luke Kanapke, you know, gave us some good solid minutes defensively, and Luke on the offensive end was productive.
Coach, you mentioned the five-game homestand that you got in front of you, Southeastern Louisiana being the first one Saturday, then Loyola, Ohio Christian, Buffalo, and Miami. I know you only look at the next opponent and you go game by game, but if you can kind of maybe give us a little bit of a synopsis of what you think you can accomplish and you need to accomplish, especially in those last four non-conference games before you start in the league against Buffalo.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, obviously you take, you know, one possession, one game at a time, but you also have to plan your season, and this is a five-game home stretch where, you know, we need to take care of our home court, and we need to, if we play like we did against, you know, Marshall, we feel like we're gonna, you know, be fine. You know, we gotta have that type of energy and that type of togetherness. You know, you look at Southeast Louisiana, you know, that may not be a big name, but they're 12th in the country in 3-point field goal percentage. They shoot 42% from 3-point land. They are a very, very good, dangerous team. They beat the UTEP on the road by over 20. So, I mean, and they went to Colorado State, lost by 8, and they lost by 10 or 12 at California the other night. You know, they're a talented team, so our guys will not take them lightly, that's for sure.
Yeah, and certainly that is a key. Obviously, you want to. I'm assuming that when you got that 67% or 62% allowed by Marshall, most of that was inside. You talked about earned points, right? That's not the kind of 3-point shooting team that you're going to face in Southeast Louisiana. So it's going to be a bit of a different type of a defensive strategy and game plan, I guess, going in.
Well, they you know, Marshall, the team that plays extremely fast. You know, they are really good in transition. Like I said earlier, one of the better offensive teams in the country. They're, you know, you know, D'Antonio, the name D'Antonio is very, big in the NBA. Mark D'Antonio is the head coach of the Houston Rockets, was his older brother. We've been on the bench in the NBA for 10 years with him. A lot of NBA concepts and a very, very fast paced type style. You know, Louisiana is going to be a little bit slower paced, but, probably a better shooting team overall.
Jim Cushion's got one more on that upcoming game on Saturday against Southeast Louisiana. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, and this is one of those games, and I'm glad you mentioned that, especially about their 3-point shooting, because they're from that Southland Conference that's kind of been ruled over by Sam Houston State and teams like that that have been getting into the tournament recently. So this isn't a name that you hear of, and it's obviously not one that, as you mentioned, Coach, that would exactly jump off the page at you before, but it's not any less of a challenge.
No, it's another team that, you know, on our schedule that is playing well, you know, and, but I, you know, like I said earlier, if we play with the energy we did against Marshall, we feel good about where the direction we're headed.
And Coach, last thing we'll ask you before you go, because we're running out of time here. This one's just for a little bit of fun. I kind of like this Twitter takeover thing that some of the guys are doing with the website. Yesterday it was Jordan Lauf who was answering questions from fans on Twitter. If you were a Twitter fan and you could ask Jordan Lauf one question, what would you ask him?
Well, that's a good question. I did follow that a little bit, but I would ask him what's the best part about Toledo basketball.
And what do you think Jordan would say in 140 characters or less?
I would say that he loves the family atmosphere. He loves his teammates and the people around him every day. You know, and I think he would say it's a program that, you know, is about high character and does it the right way.
I think it's a lot of fun to let the fans connect with the players of UT basketball, and that's enjoyable. Hopefully that'll go on every week, and every week we'll ask you what you would ask that week's player.
Did you ask questions on Twitter?
I did not. I didn't get it in time. I didn't find out about it until it was already passed yesterday. So
I think
I'm going to look forward to Wednesday. Maybe I'll sneak one in on Wednesday, and then we'll see where that goes.
That's Jim's job. Make him do it.
Yeah, there you go. We should make Jim do that. He doesn't do anything else around here for us. All right. Well, he brought us you. He scheduled the time with you, so that would we do owe him for that. Hey, Coach, all thanks right, so much for the time. Good luck on Saturday, and we look forward to catching up with you again next week before Christmas. All right?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Coach. Coach Todd Kowalczyk doing an outstanding job, and we certainly enjoy his time each and every week right here as we bring you UT Rocket coverage on the ticket. That's all the time we do have. As mentioned, Mike Miller is out for drive time, but the good news is Jim Cushlin is sticking around, and he's going to pick up the ball and run with it for you. Drive time coming up next right here on the ticket. We'll see you tomorrow.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.